Good evening, Patriots. Wow, we are in some crazy times right now. So right off the top, Bart's Fest is the 26th to the 29th of August. It is probably one of the most important events to participate in your lifetime. And I don't say that lightly. We have a calling to pull the remnant together. And we need to stand and come together for more reasons than I think we've all willfully or willingly wanted to digest yet. I'm going to talk a little bit about that tonight. We're into some very dark times, and we're still living in the fantasy that somehow it's just going to kind of move through, and I don't think it's going to be like that. We are in a time right now where we have an opportunity in this month still, and I think this is probably our last month where we'll have the mobility and freedom like we're used to. That's not prophetic, it's just looking at the lay of the land and the events that are lining up. There's a lot of shakeups coming, and people are now having to face critical moments in their life of what are they going to do as careers are being crushed or stripped, decisions are having to be made of where you go. And so Bard's Fest is one of these opportunities to come together and to build the strength that we're going to need to move forward. Bard's Fest is in St. Louis, Missouri. You can get all the details at bardsfest.com. For those of you that purchased a ticket through Ticketmaster or Eventbrite, by God's grace, all of those tickets have been refunded back to you. The event is still raging on, is bigger and better than it ever was. But we've consolidated the space is down to one location, which is the Drive-In St. Louis Powerplex. It's about a 14-acre outdoor and about a 10-acre indoor facility. It's a tremendous space, and it's designed for where we can all be together, families and individuals, together in one space. The way we're funding this is simple. There's no Ticketmaster to take their profit off of God's event. We took them out of the picture. There's two directions on this. You can donate to support the event, and your donations are greatly appreciated and greatly blessed and honored. And every one of you that has donated, I can't thank you enough. It's been a huge blessing. And I just ask that if you can't attend, if you'll continue to donate to support us, that would be deeply appreciated, if you're so called. For those of you attending, we ask that you get a ticket. If you've already purchased a ticket through Ticketmaster or Eventbrite and that money's been returned, please go to bardsfest.com. You make a decision of what you want to give for a price of a ticket. It's a donation. It's not a fixed price. You donate, and then you donate per cost of per ticket, and that's what that ticket place is, and then ticket button is. And then when your transaction's complete, your tickets will be emailed to you with a QR code. I've been very humbled today to see how much activity has actually been on that site. It's huge, and it's been refreshing. By doing this, we've been able to cut out the ticket brokers, manage that all on our site, take away their transaction fee, and keep the money flowing right to Bard's Fest. Every dime, in one capacity or another, is going right to Bard's Fest. You just need to understand that. Nothing is being, and it's just how we're, it's all going there. We are using PayPal, I'm just going to be clear. We're also using Stripe as another processing agent. We're using those because they're the best of the choices for now. We have backup areas in case something happens. But you can't get out of those places yet. That's maybe down the road, but we have to use what we have. But we have cut off the front end of that problem, which is Ticketmaster and Eventbrite, both of which are progressive liberal advocacy platforms. Ticketmaster even has promoted the idea that everyone needs to be vaxxed, so they're gone. Goodbye. So if there's been a little bit of confusion, if you received an announcement from Ticketmaster, the event has been canceled. For Ticketmaster's point of view, it got canceled because they got canceled by us. And that's the best part about that. We canceled them. And it was my decision. I want to be very clear about that. I'm the one who made the call and literally said, with God's grace, we are closing the family arena. We weren't going to pack a bunch of people in there. This is where the decision was centered on, so we're very clear about this. I didn't want a bunch of people packed in there and make it feel like a mega church. We don't need a mega church. We need a space where we can interact and be with each other, be spontaneous about our faith, talk, interact, move around. We've been housed enough in this cabal's nastiness. And that's where we brought everybody together. And it's at a beautiful space. And there's going to be a lot of great things happen there. And I just ask you, continue to keep your prayers. So that's where that is. And it's an event that, as I've told you the story, that I was literally, I feel personally, and I think the team feels, and we can speak boldly on this, that this has been God-guided all the way through. I'm always careful to say those words because I think we throw them around too lightly. Like, oh, God said to say this, and God said to do that. What I know is what's in my heart, and I feel truly that this has been God-led and God-directed, and everything that's happened is pointed that way. And it's through the grace of God and our prayers that we were shown the way to do this other model. And I'm humbled by that, and I'm equally humbled that we've seen the results by how well and beautifully all of you have responded, which says that we're all working together on the same message. There has not been a day or a decision or a movement on this process, and you all need to know that, in relation to Bard's Fest, including the consolidation of the site, the changing to the ticket platform, all of that. There isn't one thing that we have not prayed on and asked for guidance. Not one. And everything has moved around as it is. And even though we're down to the last 12 days, and it is going to be an intense 12 days, everything is coming together. And we're grateful for all of you, and we're grateful to see as many as you can attend, knowing we're also going to be streaming online, so we know there's going to be millions watching this online. This is truly going to be an epic moment in our history and in the history of the world. Now, on Friday, we're calling it Slipper Revolution Day. And that's the day that we're bringing in a lot of great people, but most notably is Mike Lindell. He's going to be there, and it's our attempt to honor him as much as possible. We're asking you to get a pair of my slippers if you can. Support him with the sales of his products as much as you can. Now, you can go to mypillow.com or frankspeech.com, and you can use the code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, and you can buy products there with that great discount through the BARDS code. And every time you purchase that way, they share some of that with us that we apply to BARDS Fest. So every dime that has come from them has gone to BARDS Fest. They have literally contributed about $100,000 to BARDS Fest, thanks to all of you. The generosity is immense, and we're all working together to make this come together. We are in some very dark times. And tonight I'm just going to kind of talk a little bit about where we are, and I think where our faith needs to be. And I don't think all of us are I don't think any of us are there yet. I think we think we are, including myself sometimes. I think I'm where I need to be, and I realized after I gave some deep thought to this tonight that I better dig in deeper than I ever have. Let's start with some principal facts. The people that are making these injections are some of the top scientists in the world. The people that are making these injections know exactly what these vaxes will do. These are the top labs, the top scientists in the world producing something that is going in your body. They have absolute knowledge of what this is going to do to the human body. They can act like they don't. They can say that they didn't have enough animal trials. They know. And in one interview that was actually on Alex Jones, one of the scientists that created it is so coy about it, he openly admits that in taking this, the second injection, that they're going to deeply compromise the immune system to such a great degree that the only way a person will survive is if they give them boosters. And those people are now what they're calling immunodeficient. But the fact of the matter is that they have known from the beginning what these injections would do. There has not been, we have to get past the idea that somehow this is an injection and we're all trying to figure it out because we're racing to figure it out. The fact is they launched this thing as with one intent, to devastate the human population. By estimates now, there's going to be probably 2 billion people die over the next 2 years. We need to quit teasing ourselves and pretending it's not going to happen. Quit imagining somehow it isn't. Everybody that knows this will tell you the same thing. You have compromised the immune system of the human body and it cannot be repaired. It cannot be repaired. The fact that something isn't happening right now, the fact that someone's not getting sick at this moment or didn't have immediate reactions does not change the fact this injection that's in them has compromised the immune system. This nonsense that started about a year ago that, quote, patriots are in control and they're giving placebos, that's pure BS. Get it out of your head. There have been some placebo doses given which are used as a baseline for a test like this in an experimental. They have to, but they have done it also intentionally to skew the actual numbers of injections that are damaging people. It wasn't done for a good thing. It wasn't done by patriots in control. It was done by pharmaceutical companies to skew the data. For those that have tried to say things like, well, patriots have had to make this happen to wake people up, another line of absolute crap. If you have ever served this nation, you know very well in your heart that that line is a bunch of junk, because there's no way a soldier that loves this nation, who loves Americans as they do, would ever allow this test to run for people to die and some suffer simply for the reasons of waking people up. That is the biggest lie going. I don't know who started it. I don't know if it started by some psyop out of the FBI, but something did, and it's a pure line of BS. The hard reality is, what's coming is going to be shocking on many levels. I don't think we're through the period yet of the worst, meaning I don't think even before we get to deaths. I think that this government, this global government, is panicked. The plan has always been us. At least we have been the principal part of the plan. Whatever element in the military is actually doing its work, and I do believe there is an element doing the work of the good. But you have to look logically at what has had to happen. President Trump did not concede. He stepped off the platform, and he has elements of special operations which he's set up under Christopher Miller and Ezra Cohen Watnick. They are in what some capacity working with him. But you are witnessing some of the most devastating things in our history happening. If you pay attention to what just happened in Afghanistan, let me give you a little insight into that real quickly, and we're going to come back around to this whole thing. You just watched the elimination, and I mean the termination, life eradication of a whole network of unbelievably loyal patriots to the United States. We've spent years building some of the best foreign soldiers we ever have. And the way that they got betrayed is somebody's in the military and the CIA likely left weapons behind for the Taliban to use against the patriots that we ourselves had trained and built great loyalties to. I have told you this before, the story. My interpreter is here. He's an American. I'm so proud that he is. Yes, he's Muslim. He is one of the most loyal Americans you will ever find. He will give his life for this nation. He gave his life nearly for me 3 different times to save my life. This is the type of patriots we were building over there. Loyal, committed patriots. And in a matter of days, they have been rounded up and they have been slaughtered by the Taliban. From what intel I'm getting, whether it's correct or not, I don't know, but the initial reads are that that direction probably came from President Xi as a member of the CCP to the hand puppet Joe Biden, which then gave the instructions to our military not only to withdraw in a rapid form, but somewhere in that rank and file, people left weapons behind for the Taliban to take hold of and then to slaughter what was left of the loyal patriots over there. So what does Biden do? And then the question is, how come the military is listening to him when he's an illegal president? That's the question you need to be asking, because they're sending 5,000 troops back over to that bloodbath that we just created. This is a devastation, and it was likely done as part of the global plan to ruin our reputation as a country, to tarnish everything that we ever built, and to try to demoralize our nation. I will tell you what it does to me. It doesn't demoralize me. It pisses me off in a righteous rage, because I know the people that pulled this little stunt knew exactly what they were doing. They knew damn well what the consequences were going to be. They knew damn well what was going to happen to those loyal American patriots over there, and they did it by design and intentionally to kill great people. I have worked with those Afghans. They are unbelievably loyal, unbelievably wonderful people. So now we come back to this nation, and you'll notice that agencies are falling in line, corporations are falling in line with the obedient demands of a hand puppet, Joe Biden. The question you need to ask is, who's really pulling the strings? And who's really pulling the strings are the banksters and the pharmaceutical nightmare people. And probably if we run that line back far enough, we're going to arrive somewhere next to the Pope and probably jump out of the White Pope and go into the Black Pope and probably get into the Jesuit order. That's probably who's all behind this. We'll get pretty close to it. But this is what is going to happen. And if I'm wrong, I'll retract this in 3 years. How's that? And I'll even ask for forgiveness on the air if I am wrong about this. And I sure hope I am. So let me make that bet telling you that I hope that in 3 years I have to say what I just said, that I have to retract this statement and ask for forgiveness. I hope I'm wrong. So I say it that way. We have a death storm rolling upon us. Every person that took that injection is going to end up likely dying within the next 2 to 3 years. That's the Biden administration. Think about that. Do you think Trump's going to race back into power as the people are dropping dead? I doubt that. This plan was so big by the cabal that there was no stopping it. The only way they ever had a chance of stopping it was to wake people up, the Great Awakening. And they did everything they could. If you remember what President Trump said somewhere around August to September of 2020, and I'll have to find the quote, but he said something about the storm that's coming. And he said, we've done everything we can. And he was right. They have done everything they could to prepare for it. But what is it going to evolve over the next 2 to 3 years? Is going to be a mass death across this world in the billions. So let's go into how that affects us. It sounds just like a number. We say, okay, a bunch of people are going to die. Yep. And it's going to be through all walks of society. The military is going to be compromised. The government's going to be compromised. Your supply chains are going to be compromised. Your security in your city is going to be compromised. I've been talking about county by county for over a year for a damn good reason. And I'm not trying to sit on a pedestal and say I've known what I've known, but I've known what I've known. And I've tried to share it in as many different ways to get people to understand, but this model of county by county is our only way forward. If your neighborhood, if you live in a neighborhood that is 85 or 95% of the people that are injected, at one point between now and the next 3 years, they are likely all going to die. So what does that mean for us? That means that there's not enough emergency responders to start pulling off the bodies. That means you're going to have mass graves at a certain point if it gets that bad. That means that in some certain communities, if you haven't taken the injection, you're probably going to be called upon to help clean up bodies. This is a transformational event for humanity. And within all of that, there's going to be this amazing rebuke of God, because people are going to sit and start screaming at God and saying, God, why did you do this? Why did you let this happen? And it is then that our greatest role comes into being. Patriots, we talk about the remnant. We talk about our role. We talk about our love for Jesus Christ. We talk about our love of Jesus Christ and our total love of God. We haven't earned our keep yet. And that cross is yet to be borne, and we will bear it. But it will be the greatest task that we've ever been put before us. It is going to be up to us to guide mankind, humankind, back to God. It is going to be up to the strength in our faith and the glory in which we can speak and the healing and grace that we can give the many for us to retrieve this humanity from the absolute pit of hell. There will be justice. We will find it. But we have to not, as harsh as we are right now, and I'm going to say what I say because I believe it. If you've taken the injection, you're an idiot. You had plenty of time to research it. There was plenty of noise out here to question. And if you had any brains in you, you would have questioned why you were taking an injection for something that had a 1% death rate or 0.1% death rate. All of that is truth. It's brutal truth. I'm sorry if you don't like it. I'm sorry if it makes people uncomfortable. I'm not going to give any leeway on this. Because if we start to give leeway there, then where we end up is this place where we start to say, well, God should have protected us. No, God should not have protected us. He gave us free will, and he gave us a brain to use and to ask the questions to discern in our life. That's the consequence of living. Sadly, many people have forgotten what it is to live. And this is not a world where we sit back and we hold out our hands and then we say, okay, God, please just fix everything for me. That's never been the way it works. God works through us. And through our relationship with Christ, now that we are in a post-sacrifice world, meaning after Christ was sacrificed and after Christ arose from the dead, we have been given life through Christ, everlasting, through our obedience to the walk of Christ and through Christ to the Father. And through that embracement of Christ, we are reborn and we are remade in the image that's more pure to God. That has an obligation. So in this time, and for a time such as this, let's not use those words so flippantly. For a time such as this is a time of unbelievable burden. It is going to be likely a very dark age in humanity. None of us want to believe it. We all want to think that there's going to be some heroic moment to sweep in at the last minute. You have this nonsense coming across the web like, oh, we've got the med beds and we're going to fly them in and everybody's going to be saved. There is no way logistically that could ever happen. Be clear about that. We have to get past this kind of idyllic nonsense. I've listened to Simon Parks. I've made comments about him, even complimented him on some of the things he said, but he's an idiot when it comes to stuff like med beds. Okay. Where is this going to come out of? Med beds? Let's get real. How are you going to deliver 1 billion, 2 billion med beds? Just curious. That technology might exist. I don't know. I hear it does. I've never seen it. I can't speak to it. What I know is when you start throwing out hopium like that, people don't even run the numbers. Just like they don't run the numbers on the actual death sequence that goes along with the survival rate of a non-existent pandemic, they don't run the numbers of what this is. What else is being said? Oh, we're going to save humanity with med beds. Okay, so if there's 1 billion people that are all in the process of going to die, how many med beds do you think you're going to need to roll out to save them all? Just curious. It's not going to be 10. Let's start there. And as sure as heck is it going to be 500. And the last time I checked, that probably seems fairly unlikely. Look, if they can prove me wrong, I'm happy to be proven wrong. But I really want to see how you're going to process 2 billion people with anything less than about 100 million med beds. And I don't see that happening. the strength of what we have to offer is salvation through Christ. That does not equate to necessarily the body being healed. We are talking about saving souls. And to be quite honest, I don't know that there's going to be a place for the bodies to be healed here. People have made a choice that has, in my opinion, is probably the ultimate sin. Because they've made a choice of accepting something in their body without even asking a question or praying on it that completely corrupts the DNA in which God gave us. A perfect body which God delivered to us, a temple which was not ours, a temple which is paid for in the price of the death and sacrifice of his son, in which we are to steward. We, those who took the vax, actually accepted something in there that would screw that temple up. Now, I don't see that as being a good outcome. So there's going to be some harsh days ahead. And it's going to be a reality that we all have to come to grips with. Now I'm going to go back to Bard's Fest. None of this was known. We had ideas. I had indications. I had enough indications to try to share what I could say without sounding like a lunatic. Because I'll tell you, if I had said this a year ago, people would be like, Bard, you're crazy. Get out of here. You're off the rails. People said that enough when I said, if you couldn't take the mask, if you couldn't walk without a mask, you were going to take the vax. People said it enough when I said the vax was real, it's coming, and it's a death to humanity. They thought I was crazy a year ago. But we all see it now. So as we see things line up, when this festival was envisioned, which was March of this last year, we saw that as a rally for patriots initially. And as we prayed and as it moved along, it morphed into being a revival. And the revival piece has only become stronger and stronger. And it's become the central theme to every single thing that we are doing. Never in my life had I ever envisioned leading a revival in this nation, at the heart of the nation. That's purely a God thing. And I am obedient to what God wants me to do, and I'm blessed by his grace to allow that he's allowed me to hear what his intentions are, and I only pray that I can continue to follow that path no matter where it leads. But in this time, we are now having a revival in the center of the heart of the nation. And for me, it's one of the most important events of all times. This isn't just about bringing God back to the throne. It's about preparing ourselves in such strength in our faith, such groundedness in our faith, not just in ourselves, but amongst fellow believers, and to raise that army of the remnant that we are prepared for what is to come. That is principle to all things to me now at Bard's Fest, is to prepare everyone that participates for what is to come. When you start looking, as we look forward and we start to see that storm that's coming, and I will guarantee when we look back, this frustration of Antifa and of BLM and of all of the nastiness in our government, oh, we'll see it for what it is. It'll be a crime against humanity, but it will seem so deeply sickening and so absolutely irrelevant to the crisis that we will be facing. We will know the origins of it, and those that are participant in it will pay an ultimate price. Whether by God's hand or the justice of man, they will pay an ultimate price. And no one will escape that accountability. No one. And it is a commitment that I make, that I hope every one of you makes, that there will never be forgiveness in the sense of excuse from justice. Let me be clear what I just said. That every single person that participated in spreading this death shot promoting it, spreading it, turning a blind eye to it and pretending like it was no big deal. Every single person will have to pay for accountability to the humanity in one form or another. Accountability is the great term. I don't care whether you get roadside garbage pickup service for the next 10 years. You're going to do something to give back to a world which you stole life from. And no one will escape. And it will be the vigilance of what we create and the awakening in which we preserve and the faith in our God and our love of Christ that allows that strength to continue, not just with us, but for the generations yet unborn. That is how far this has to extend. That we must never, ever, ever forget this moment. There's been a lot of talk. We've all said various things about Q. I don't know what Q is, don't know who it was. One thing I've never accepted is we don't worship Q. But I will say this. When we look back on the things that were given, much of this was warned in its own way. We couldn't see it all, and I don't think it could be said. Because in the end of the day, the critical issue about all of this at play, the critical piece that we have to all accept is we were given a choice. And unless humanity makes the choice, it cannot shape its destiny. God gave us that choice from the beginning. And the one thing we can say about information given to us is it was always left a little bit short of what the actual truth was because we had to research it. We had to come to the conclusions. We could be pointed to a place or given the crumbs to find it. But at the end of the day, we have to make the choice and how we want to live. That is God's law. That goes back to the fallen. It has never been any different. So we were given the crumbs and we were led to a place that we had to make choices and many walked away. They didn't want to hear it. They wanted nothing to do with it. They hated Trump so much they didn't want to hear what he said. They hated anybody that said they knew something about Q because it's pure nonsense, they said. It's conspiracy. You all are nut jobs, whack jobs, whatever. And according to the Department of Homeland Security, as of right now, myself and 80 million other followers of Trump and believers in Christ in this nation are now insurgents, just so you know. That came out yesterday. Because speaking against the injection and speaking about the fact that Trump won means that we are now promoting a violent extremism in the United States. This is how nuts this world has gotten. So as I just take a quick commercial break here, if you're from Homeland Security, welcome to the show. We hope we can provide a little bit of insight into getting some Jesus in your life because you have none. Hopefully you can remove your brown shirt and quit being a fascist and you can join the real movement and rejoin the Constitution. So since you're listening, please tune in and listen to the end of this conversation because we're glad to guide you to the right way and find your way back to God. Amen. This is a time in which every single one of us needs to be digging more into Scripture. We need to be digging more into our relationship with Christ and more into our relationship in our faith and God. No matter how we cut this, when you start talking about the loss of literally like 2 billion people that has been engineered by a handful of crazy fascists. I don't know who they are, but I can tell you this. What I do know is people who do that are not of God. People that do that are not of the human race, even if they look like it, even if their blood smells like it, even if you open them up and they have all the same organs that we do, something within them isn't right because they take pleasure and joy in watching people die and suffer. Those people have no room on this earth. And it is something that every Christian has to start getting back in their heart. The understanding that we give enormous amount of grace and offering of repentance. But there comes a point that when we face pure evil, The lessons have been given to us of how David stood to Goliath, how Joshua led his army into the city after the walls fell. This is what we are talking about. Those of that level of evil cannot coexist in this world with us, period. Moving ahead will be the most demanding part of our lives. It will equally be the most rewarding because we will be serving God in such an amazing way in being able to bring prayer to life, bring healing to those that are morally, spiritually wounded, to save as many as we can, even on the edge of death. This is something we have to talk about. Again, Patriots, I truly hope I am wrong. But if what we are seeing is true, as I think it is, and if the storm that's coming at us is as it appears, we are headed into a time when there will be so much death that our main role will end up being trying to save those in their last days. And the place that this will fall the hardest will be within our own families. I don't think there's a family in this country that hasn't been touched by somebody in the family walking off the plank and taking this death shot. And it will require that we are there to their last breath to give them solace, to give them grace, and to offer them salvation. Again, I hope I'm wrong. But if I am to say that I am wrong, then we have to disregard what dozens of doctors of the best in their field are telling us. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Carrie Madej, Dr. Lee Merritt, Dr. Larry Pilevsky, Dr. Steve Meehan. That's just to name a few. All of which I've come to know and come to respect. Dr. Eric Napudi. These are people that are the top of their game. Dr. Brian Artis. By the way, we're going to hear an interview from Dr. Brian Artis. I guess it'll be like Tuesday. I just interviewed him. He's an amazing doctor, another one of the great doctors of this time. Dr. Pam Popper, Dr. Andrew Wakefield. These are people, and there are many more, that are saying the same thing over and over. They are telling you what's going to happen. That these people have compromised their immune systems, that in the end, it will be some form of an immunodeficiency disorder that will lead to their death. So we can ignore it. We can say, oh, well, maybe, maybe, maybe. Or we can face it and prepare for what is truly to be probably one of the most devastating moments in the history of humankind. Yes, we are here for such a time as this. But as I said, those words cannot be said flippantly or trivially. For such a time as this means we must be prepared to give everything that we can. It is going to be a demanding situation that was manufactured by a select elite to try to eradicate humankind. The glory within all of this is there has been enough awakening around the world that there has been an ability to push back enough to make their plan not so effective. And they know that. That's part of their panic right now because they haven't reached the 70% goal. Far from it. They're probably more at about 35%. And they're panicked because they know what that means. One, it means that a lot of the people that took it are the followers of them. And the people that haven't taken it are the ones that they fear the most. It's us who walk with Christ in our heart. That doesn't change, however, the impact that that makes on a global scale. Supply chains, basic services, security. It's going to spin up every single reaction you can imagine. Some people will not be able to cope. They'll commit suicide. Other people will literally lose their mind. They will go crazy. You will see it all. And it has nothing to do with God saving us. Because God is here and always has been here. It has everything to do with us making a choice over many, many years of walking away from Him and choosing to let an institution run by men make the decisions for us. In the end, the only way humanity can survive is if it faces its own failure. And this right now, we are on the cusp of having to face in bold black print with neon flashing lights all around it that we failed in our walk as God's children. So, our strength is to this world as a grace that God has given us to be those that had chose to pay attention to Him, to follow Him, to have our strength in Jesus Christ. This is the strength that we must continue to hold and build deeper into. It is that strength that will ultimately save humanity. It is that gleaming light that will give those many that were walking in darkness hope in the darkest of moments. And it will be truly that revival of God's love within this world that will save us all. We must be prepared, though, for what is to come. And that's the whole point of tonight's conversation. Don't live with rose-colored glasses. Open your eyes to the reality that is here. We've lived with rose-colored glasses for so many years now that when this stupid thing comes out, people turn to it and say, oh, it can't possibly be that bad. It can't possibly be like that. Well, it was that bad. And yes, it was as horrible as we tin hat crazy conspiracy theorists said it was. And they are as evil as us crazy tin hat conspiracy theorists nut jobs said it was. And Comet Ping Pong does exist. Kill rooms do exist. Baby sacrifice is part of what they do. Adrenochrome is real. The trafficking of children is a deep part of how they make money and how they find pleasure. Boy love is part of their culture. Child torture is part of their pleasure. And the perception that we in humanity are little more than cattle for their use and abuse is a central part of who they are. And yes, they do worship some form of the Dark Lord, whether it's Baal, Baphomet. Whoever else. See, it's not a myth. And this war isn't new. It's been raging for thousands of years. It's just surfaced once again. It's its peak point. And unfortunately, over the last couple thousand years, we just got super dumb. And we became super stupid. And we became super trusting of the wrong side. And we had dinner way too many times with Lucifer. So now we have an opportunity to reset things. And it's not the resetting by violence. It's the resetting by grace and compassion for our fellow man. That in the end, we are going to have to lead with prayer. We're going to have to lead with God's love in a way that we never have imagined. And it will be demanding on all of us. But as we stand together and we hold together, and as we unite in prayer and faith together with our true love through Christ, we will overcome this. And so, it takes us back to Bardsfest. On the eve of the storm, by the grace of God, a festival of sorts has been called to bring God's children that feel the calling to come together. And through the grace of the many donations in which have been provided by these incredible children of God, we have all been able to build a festival where we can remember and strengthen ourselves through the joy of how He lives through us, the living God. An assembly of these amazing believers to come together and to walk in God's light, to share God's light, and to bring our children to that experience to all celebrate what He is. Because we're going to need that strength in the days and weeks and months and years ahead. And I pray and believe that this, what will be launched on August 26th to August 29th, will now become an annual event in which we will all need to come together again in greater and greater numbers to heal, to strengthen, and to return to the field of battle. God didn't set this to be a one-off event. He didn't do this without intention. We haven't been able to see yet where it's going, but we can all feel that whatever's happening is going to need what is coming in the next 12 days. So no matter where you are, whether you can attend in person or whether you can attend online, if you are so called, do so. And so I'll make my final statement on this tonight. If you can't afford a ticket, contact us, one will be provided. If you can afford to donate to support the event, your donations are deeply welcome. If you choose to come, you pay what you can afford or what you're called to do. There's no ticket price fixed. We've done this all by the grace and guidance of God, because this is God's event. And in the end, we need to touch as many people as possible to bring them together and bring us all together through that unity that we have through faith and our belief in Christ Jesus. This is a moment for us all to humble ourselves before Him, to pray for the healing of this land, and to pray for the strength that we will all need in the time and days to come. And as the Irish Prime Minister stated in 2019, never will so much be asked of so few by so many. The remnant is real. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this evening as we reflect very deeply on the realities that face us, we pray and we humble ourselves before You. And we ask for Your guidance. We ask for Your protection. We ask for Your strength. Lord, in this time, many people are being stressed. The old ways are dying around us, and many are trying to figure out a way forward. And we pray for them that they will continue to find Your strength and dig deeper within You to find the strength that You give each one of us. Lord, we ask that each patriot that is here, that listens to this, turns to You more deeply, seeks Your guidance more truly, focuses on the path ahead of wherever You're guiding them, because right now the gifts and talents in which You have all blessed us with are the most important things that we must trust in and lean into. Lord, we truly pray that what we see coming won't manifest. We pray for that healing, that miraculous moment that somehow this will pass over, and yet somehow deep in our heart we feel the ominous reality that there will be a great deal of pain to come. However this manifests, Lord, we ask for the strength that is needed, the discernment that we can trust, the compassion that we can extend, the grace that we can give, and the salvation that we can offer through the acceptance of Christ, not only in our lives, but the leading of others to that point. May You grace us with the words, may You grace us with the touch, and may we do a walk that honors our King and Savior, Christ Jesus. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. Take time. Take time to breathe. Take time to spend time with God. Listen. He's moving the pieces where he needs them. And even if it feels like the world is crushing down upon you, he's doing so because he needs you to hear where he needs you to go. Maybe your mission where you were is over. And though you may not see where he needs you to go, trust in him. Things are changing, and they will change a lot. And the way forward is to lean into him even more. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent. Always press into this fight. This is a fight for the soul of humanity, and we must win. And we will persevere as long as we stay true with God and true with our love of Christ. Each one of us has been gifted with the gifts and talents that God needs us to have. Each one of us is now called to use those gifts and talents to manifest them and improve them in such a degree that they become the skills of perfection that God demands. God is with us. He will never forsake us. But we have a role to play. It isn't God to fix this. We have to get ourselves in the place where God works through us. And it's then that God will win. So see you tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. Eastern. Until then, or until the next time. God bless. Thank you. Good night. And out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights been pushing through, fight for all we had to lose, reaching out for something to pull us up to level ground. Oh, I can see it now, I can see it now. We're on the edge of a moment, but not a void up, now we're diving in. The light up ahead, we're running to it. We're on the edge, now we're diving in. Stay a while and you'll see that every broken dream fits together.
the tides, out on the freeway, let it ease my mind. We run away sometimes when belonging becomes something to find. We always come back to what we know. Keep it close on the cold days, darling. Counting all the ways where you are a safe place to hide from the rain.